Welcome to the Geek Night In, episode 17. I'm Laura, and it's only one person joining me today. We've got Kate with us. Hooray!
Hey!
Woo! Oh,
that was dramatic, actually. I felt good about that.
Hooray! Tilly's busy working, and Gemma is on a plane because there is this curse that goes on where we can't be in the same country at the same time, so, you know, Gemma has to travel again. But, yeah, neither of us can really think of anything we've done this week that's geeky, so this is going to be like a bit of a rolling start and we'll see what happens this week.
Yeah, my sister gets married on Saturday, so it's just kind of been completely mad. Like, we've gotten to pick up my wedding dress. Freudian slip there, Matt.
Are you trying to upstage her at the wedding? Are you going to turn up in a wedding dress and be like, no, it's my wedding?
No, I went to pick up my bridesmaid's dress today, and oh, it's just been absolutely so much stuff. But so I haven't really had much time to do much geeky stuff. I've been working at the cinema, which is fun, and also, oh, I did watch Hercules this week.
Oh, is Hercules any good?
No.
Oh, what a surprise. Dwayne the Rock Johnson in an action film is not entirely exciting or interesting.
I will stop you there. To be fair, have you seen The Mummy 2, The Scorpion King?
No, I watched the first Mummy and decided I didn't really feel like more of that series.
Okay, all of the Mummy films I love. I'm literally obsessed with them. When they first came out, I was too scared to watch them because they... For a kid, they are pretty dark. I mean, they came out in, what, 1999? I would have been about six. Oh, my God, how bad is my math? I would have been about six. So I was way too young to watch them. And yeah. Then I watched them later on, and I really enjoyed them. And Dwayne Johnson is in The Scorpion King, and he's really good. Is it The Scorpion King, the second one? Yeah, it is. And he's really good in that. He's good. His accent. Oh, hiccup. His accent wavers a lot. It starts out really well, and it's like, okay, he's going for kind of a generic English accent, but it doesn't sound really just like he's gone for the full Tom Hiddleston. So it worked, and then about halfway through, it was like he sounded like he was kind of from, I don't know, went a little bit New York, and I was like, just stop. But I mean, apart from Dwayne Johnson, was quite good in it. Rufus Sewell, who is Count Adhemar in A Knight's Tale.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he was incredible in it. He was so funny. But the rest of it was just an abomination. I'm trying to think if this year, at least, I've seen a more sexist film. And I don't think I have.
I might have to go see it just to be able to write something about that. That's quite a statement.
I mean, spoilers, like, not proper spoilers, but if you are deciding to avoid the film altogether, so, you know, leaves a horrendous surprise until you get there. All of them are just shoved into refrigerators in terms of every single woman is there to serve man pain. Or the only one that isn't is Atalanta, I think her name is. And she's, like, the most stereotypical strong female character that has ever existed.
Oh. The one where the characteristic is she went through something hard and she got through it, therefore she's strong.
Yeah, that is exactly it. Oh my, did you write this film?
No, but I've written about this in video games. It's the, like, hey, we don't need strong female characters, we need complex female characters. Strength is not really an attribute or a personality. It's not a personality trait.
That is his only... her only personality trait. Like, she, you know, she backflips and she kicks ass and she can fire a bow and that's it. And she, you know, she kind of wears the skimpy outfit and she's kind of, you know, she has like a strong jaw, therefore she's really feminist. And there was the princess in it, literally lives to, you know, she's a very good actress in it. It's Rebecca Ferguson, not the one from X Factor. I was disappointed. She played the White Queen in Elizabeth Woodville in the White Queen adaptation, which I think we've talked about before on this podcast, actually. But yeah, so she was in that. She was quite good in it. She did some really, like, good performances, but it was just the writing. It was a total letdown, and I was incredibly disappointed. Oh. But I went to go see it where I work, when a new film comes out that we all want to see, they tend to show at sort of midnight the day before it comes out a staff screening that we can go and see.
Ooh.
It's really good. I'm going to go see Guardians of the Galaxy on Wednesday.
Oh, can I come? Can I come? Can I come?
You have to kind of apply for a job where I work.
Yeah, but I don't want to go because it's an early screening. I just want to go because I want to go see it with you. Because you're cool.
I am awesome. Do you have... Well, I don't like to reveal which cinema chain I work for, but if you have a similar cinema chain, that's hard to say, nearby, then I'll come and see it with you at some point because I get them for free.
I have that same cinema chain near me, so
good. Okay, we'll
work that out.
I have some free tickets, so hopefully we're just like organizing a day out.
Oh, it's fine. That's what this podcast is for, obviously.
Yeah, I could come down and make sure I have a free ticket for it, and we could go see it.
That'd Hooray! Cool. Oh, there's a thing. Two things I've been meaning to talk about, and this is kind of like it circled round to something that we had off the podcast.
Okay.
So, thing that happened off the podcast. We went to the beach together with Tilly and
got sunburned.
Yeah, we all got sunburned, but
I'm feeling like mad this now, week.
We got onto the topic there of songs involving vegetables. And I will kind of get back to that in a second, but did you know that there is a video that's been making the rounds this week of Morgan Freeman singing a song about being a vegetable vampire?
I can say definitively, I did not know this.
It's, what's his name? I think it's like Vlad the Vegetable Vampire. And he just goes around singing about how he has lots of fruit and veg in his day. And he looks like he's about 19, maybe 20 in this video, or maybe like early 20s. But this is not the Morgan Freeman we know, and it's the Vegetable Vampire. And it's amazing. So like, go look that up, everyone. But then that got me back around to this whole thing that we were singing on the beach, which was I started watching VeggieTales.
Because you started rewatching it?
I started rewatching some VeggieTales this week because the problem is since we went to the beach together, I have not been able to get the Where Is My Hairbrush song out of my head.
Good.
Where is my hairbrush? Where is my hairbrush? Where is my hairbrush?
It's a fantastic song, and the fact that I haven't seen anyone in a long time who knows what that song is about.
Oh goodness, when you started singing that, I instantly had flashbacks to church youth group again. I was like, oh goodness, this takes me back. So
we basically had like our RS teacher in primary school was Church of England, and I loved how she was the mother of a good friend of mine, and I think she was just kind of lazy and was like, oh, I'll just put some TV shows on that I show the kids at like my youth group or whatever, and then we'll learn about Judaism later.
To be fair, wouldn't you do that if you were a teacher of children of that age? It's like, I can get away with videos.
All I remember is watching videos in religious studies. We watched one about, and it was like, Sarah is Jewish. Sarah goes to synagogue. The Jewish Bible is called a Torah. The end.
Oh, goodness. But yeah, VeggieTales is the weirdest thing. Mm. Like, I forgot how strange and over the top it was. It's, Bob the Tomato and Larry the Cucumber on their various adventures. Oh, goodness. It's so bizarre. Like, the theme tune is catchy as, like, I was going to say catchy as hell, but I don't think that's appropriate for a Christian, the immoral children's show. But, it's a really surreal children's program for something that's ostensibly used to teach children about religion.
I think pretty much, I would say most children's shows. Did you used to watch Mona the Vampire?
Oh, God, Mona the Vampire!
Who had paranoid delusions, and it was like, this is fun.
Basically, like, every so often she would imagine, like, everything turns horrible and nightmarish, and she would have to fight off these nightmares, and in the end it'd be like, oh, no, you were actually doing something in the real world this whole time. But it's fine, no one cares that you're having all these very vivid imaginations of vampires attacking you.
It was amazing. We used to watch Moan of the Vampire a lot. The Lampies. Oh my God. Did you used to watch the Lampies?
Oh, the Lampies.
The Lampies were the shit, man. And they won like their music, the song, won like loads of awards. I can't remember what it was like, but basically it was about Lampies. It was, what year was it?
Just to give some context, the Lampies were people that lived in lampposts, if I remember correctly.
Yes. They were sprite-like power engineers, apparently, and they lived in a lamp.
Oh, yeah, they fixed them, didn't they?
Yeah. It was basically, I mean, the whole idea as a kid that, you know, people lived in your body and, like, lived in your heart to pump blood and, you know, stuff like that. It was that kind of thing. People lived in the lamp.
But much less creepy, because they're not living inside of you.
Oh, I liked to always think that people lived, like...
No, that was creepy. Like, whenever germs were represented as being, like sentient beings living inside you, that creeped me out.
There's a film about it. Hang on, I can't remember what it's called. I'm going to type in film germs as people.
Okay. Oh, is this, Osmosis Jones. Osmosis Jones,
yes!
Is that it?
Yes! Oh, my God. Yes!
Yeah,
Osmosis Jones is 2001 live action animated comedy film.
Chris Rock or someone like that, Aussie? Or am I making that up in my head?
Yes, it was.
Okay, I had my moment of, oh God, please tell me I haven't got that wrong.
Bill Murray plays the main character. Chris Rock plays Aussie, Osmosis Jones. And according to this, Lawrence Fishburne, who's in CSI?
Yeah, was he Drix? Yes. Drix, yes. Tablet for a pill for a head. And then he had some kind of robot body.
He was a deadly virus. William Shatner voices somebody in it.
Oh, goodness.
I really enjoyed that film. We watched it on holiday. I really liked it.
My only memory of that franchise is there was a TV show, and I remember there was something vaguely to do with like the monster of the week was a spot that was coming up on the person's face. And so they basically, like Aussie and Drix, were attempting to use toothpaste, because apparently toothpaste can stop spots.
That is true.
They're trying to do something with trying to get toothpaste from the stomach to the spot or something.
Okay, that's weird.
That was my vague memory of that show.
I liked it.
I remember enjoying it, but oh goodness, things that I'm thinking about now that I need to ask you if you ever saw. I'm going to bring this show up purely because I wanted the like central thing from it. And like as a child, it was the one thing I wanted from TV. Did you ever watch Bernard's Watch?
Yes, that show was weird, man.
That show was weird, but I wanted that watch.
I would love that watch because, you know, amazing.
My entire like knowledge and like my entire concept of how time travel, of like stopping time works, is all based on Bernard's Watch. Like, hey, I press a button and everyone stops, but I can keep doing things.
The granddad creeped me out, man. The
granddad was creepy.
It was just hilarious. It basically, a kid got given a magic watch, and when he pressed the button on it, he could stop time.
But invariably, it always went wrong because...
Well, obviously.
He got greedy and like, oh no, I can't fix it, everything's going wrong, and... That sort of thing.
I totally wish I had one of these. Oh, but, of course, the best live-action kids TV show is, of course, My Parents Are Aliens.
My Parents Are Aliens... Actually, My Parents Are Aliens was pretty fantastic up until they changed half of the cast without saying anything.
Yes!
Like, they replaced the mother without saying a word.
Mm-hmm,
then they replaced the older sister. And then they completely replaced the cast.
They had... I mean, the only thing I will say... Like, it started off with Brian and Sophie as the parents.
Yeah.
Sophie, when they changed her character, I didn't mind the new actress.
They at least then had an in-canon reason for it, where, like, they could transform how they looked, and she transformed and she couldn't work out to transform back or something.
Yeah.
So they at least had some kind of logic to it there.
Well, they were, it was... I really liked it, and I thought the whole thing was... it won a lot of awards as well. It was very popular.
It was very well written, even if it was one of those... Like, it's one of those shows that I struggled a little bit with as a child, where it was... You could always see how everything was going to go wrong, and I was like, no, no, this is... Oh, it's so cringeworthingly awkward to watch.
Yeah, like, sort of... It's like, oh, the cat wants to go in. Oh, my goodness, traumatic experiences. Oh, no, she doesn't. It was one of those things, like the Mr. Bean syndrome, you know, where you cringe.
It's very similar. Like, I always compared it to Chuckle Vision.
Oh
In
my
that
goodness, yeah.
same sort of vein of it's you're watching, it's like, oh no, don't, no, you no. But it was really well written, but it was also kind of awkward to watch at times.
Hello. Oh, my mum's doing a bit of watering as well. Hi, mum.
Right.
Hi. She says hello.
Hello. Oh goodness. Dear, I'm trying to think of other things that I watched that are stuck in my head. Oh, did you ever watch Arthur?
Oh my God, don't insult me. Of course,
Hey,
I
hey.
lost Arthur. Hey, what was, oh my God, what was, it's gone out of my
That's
head. What a wonderful time to play.
You can
Get
learn to
along
walk
with
in with
each
each
other.
other.
Get to listen to your
Your
heart.
heart, listen to the beat, listen to the rhythm of
Rhythm of the street.
street.
Oh, your eyes open up, your ears get
Set
together
together
and
and
read
make
things.
things better by
By
working
working
together.
together, it's a
It's a
simple
simple
message.
message that comes from heart.
Oh, believe in yourself, believe in your
But
best,
that's
it's
the
at the
place
place
to
to
start.
start.
And
Oh,
I say,
God.
hey,
Hey!
what a, oh, oh God, that show was so good.
He was like an aardvark, and
It,
his friend was a rabbit, and they
that,
hang out with mice and
there's a
mice.
brilliant picture going around at the moment where it turns out that like Arthur had bunny slippers and what was his friend the rabbit's name? Buster has aardvark slippers.
There's one with Buster who obviously has bunny ears, but he wears headphones like right the way down rather than on his ears.
Oh goodness, so much of that show never made sense, but
It
oh
was
well.
fantastic. There was Muffy Crosswire.
Yeah, she was the really rich one that had the rich
Yeah.
parents.
And there was one where loads
Francine?
Francine
France,
Frenchie,
Frensky.
and they were Jewish. And I liked her actually because they had like, to be fair, although obviously Buster and Arthur were the main characters, they had a lot of varied women in it.
They did, and they had a lot of like representation of different groups and different backgrounds and things. They
Yeah,
weren't
not so
afraid
much. I mean,
to.
they're all animals, so they can't exactly be like racially diverse. But yeah, there was the Jewish family, there were poor families, there was rich family. That George the Moose,
Oh
he was dyslexic.
God. Oh.
Arthur's dad was, I think he was a chef or like a caterer, but he was very like into baking. He was very, had the sort of homey feel to
Yeah,
it,
he was like
the pudding.
he was the stay-at-home dad that was like
Yeah.
kind of like, and they had like single parent families on there, like Buster
Yeah.
only really had a mother in the picture, and
Yeah, and they had one of his friends, and I cannot, because they all had so many different names, Doreen or something. She was blind, and she was making friends with like another character in the group, and that character was like overcompensated, like, oh, let me help you and stuff. And they kind of explained the problems with that and how, if I want help, I ask for help. I have my own systems of getting around. It was a really good, I really want to watch some Arthur, right?
we should do this. We should do like a video club or something and do like a
Yes, we have to
commentary
watch.
over an episode of Arthur.
50 minutes long, I should think. I really enjoyed Arthur, and I think it was based on books.
They were. I don't know how many there were, but the characters were definitely originally book characters.
Yes, the television series is based on the Arthur book series written by Mark Brown. So, oh my God, since his debut, the show has broadcast 200 30-minute long episodes, with its 17th season premiering last year.
That
Wow.
doesn't surprise me. That show's been going on for as long as I can remember.
But it started off in 1996, so it's like almost as old as me.
Oh, wow. That
Loved it.
oh. What else did we watch at that time? What else was around?
Recess.
Oh God, Recess. Actually,
Recess was amazing.
can I tell my little bit of a side story about Recess?
And indeed.
This I have a very vivid memory of Recess was the film that
Oh yeah, it was a movie.
well, there was a movie, and the movie of that, it was because of the movie of that existing that I came to as a child understand that coming only to cinemas this summer did not mean that it wouldn't be getting a video release. Like, you can understand how I made that mistake because this was, I saw like an advert for the Recess movie on a video for something else, some other VHS I had rented. And at this time, like,
Yeah.
I used to, like, with my pocket money, rent videos from the video shop near the house. And There was a trailer for the Recess movie, and I very vividly remember in this trailer it saying, like, coming only to cinemas this summer. And I had my moment of, oh, I don't see many films at the cinema. I only rent films on video. I'm not going to be able to see that.
Oh,
And
bless
it's not
you.
until years later that I've looked back and been like, oh, that memory that's lodged in my head, that probably came out on video fairly soon afterwards.
I don't think we that because there are some things like when you have a video as a kid, you watch it like 100 times. Like Pocahontas, Lion King 1 and 2. I can't even think about how many times I've seen that. Mulan didn't have it on video, therefore only watched it a couple of times. So apparently Mulan was the first film I ever went to see at the cinema though, so I thought that was quite cute. And yeah, Recess we didn't have, so we didn't get it.
No,
Like I only saw it a few years ago, and I do that. It's amazing,
I never
honestly.
saw the movie, but I remember watching that show and that. Oh, I'm trying to remember the. There was the really nerdy girl whose name I don't remember with the glasses and stuff.
Gretchen. Hang on, my mum is talking to me.
Oh.
I don't want a tomato.
Can you take the
Oh, well,
plastic
I'm gonna
off?
drop them. Okay, I have but one tomato. Thank you. She's giving me some tomatoes through the window. What is my life?
Oh,
Yeah,
goodness.
Gretchen. It was Gretchen Wiener. Vince LaSalle, who was the he was like a bar amazing at basketball and like the world's top chef.
Was it TJ, the guy with the baseball cap?
TJ. Oh God, what was his surname? It was the it stood for Theodore.
It was Theodore James something, I think.
Not TJ Hughes, TJ Recess. TJ Detweiler.
Really?
Yes. Ashley Spinelli. Mike. Oh, what was Mike's surname?
I don't remember surnames for most
Oh,
of
I
these.
do. Oh, I loved it so much. Mike. Yeah, TJ Detweiler, Ashley Spinelli, Vince LaSalle, Gretchen Grundler, not Gretchen Wiener. Gretchen Wiener's from Mean Girls. Mikey Bloomberg, Gus Griswold, who was the new kid, and yeah, that was like the main six friends, and then like they had all the other characters and people like on Tumblr, which obviously likes to dissect things. There was a Miss Grokey who was their teacher, who was like quite hippie. There's loads of stuff that she says like at the end of lessons that's really anti-establishment. And then, like, the bell rings, and they're just like, okay, but obviously, it's on a kids' show.
Yeah,
She
there are
wasn't.
like actual points where she'll like pump her fist in the air and be like, so yeah, in conclusion, fight the power.
Yeah, it's like
Like
act up.
I went back and watched that show a couple of months
Yeah,
back.
I've seen some on it.
There are so many things that just like completely went over my head originally watching that.
There's a line like, now let's read about how the barbaric Europeans stole this country from the Native Americans.
Oh, goodness. Oh, there is so much really good writing in that show.
It was fantastic. I really, oh, for goodness sake, now the cat wants to go in. Oh, God. Oh, why can't you do the podcast? Because the cat is being stupid. Do you want to go out or do you want to come in? Oh, I want to go in. Stupid cat. Yeah, there was Recess was one me and my sister used to watch. It used to be on the ITV Sunday morning show, which
Yes, it
Dig
did.
It or Digging It. It
Digging
changed.
it.
Yeah, and it had a little King Charles Spaniel on it called Jasper. I'm so uncomfortable in this chair. What are
My,
the
I was
cat?
gonna say my own only like real like thoughts on that, having watched it years later, was that I suddenly realized like it is very good at Recess is very good at taking the dynamics of the playground and the sort of like seriousness with which everything is taken when you're that age. And like taking
Yes.
seemingly small situations and building them up into these huge important things that they're
They had
kind
like
of the way they feel when you're a child.
the hustler who sold like candy and stuff and was like a little black market dealer. And there was one who like he used the little fortune teller origami things and then he went missing and you can't mess with that, whereas actually he just like transferred. And you do take stuff that seriously as a kid because it's insular, it's your only interaction
Like,
as a
you're
kid.
learning about the world from other people that know equally little about the world.
Yeah, I really liked Reese, and I think people bemoan, and it's true, there is a huge lack of decent representation and like quality written kids' TV shows and stuff, and especially kids' movies. But, like, looking back on some of this stuff, it was amazing. Like, Arthur taught me loads. Like, I remember that episode about the character who was blind. And as a kid, you know, obviously you're not being told about, like, social justice and how to be a good activist. But I remember thinking, like, okay, if I ever meet a disabled person, I won't be, like, you know, I know how to not be rude.
Basically, it nailed down with that particular episode, like, how to, like, how not to patronize people if you're an ally, how to be like, okay, I trust that if you need help, you'll ask for it. If not, like, I'm not going to mollycoddle you because, you know, that's not what you want. I'll trust you to let me know what your boundaries are and when you do and don't need help.
There are so many people that I want to sit down in front of that episode.
Like, I want to share that to so many people and be like, look, this is a children's show. It understands better than you do how to deal with these kind of things.
I think you're right. I'm trying to think what other ones I used to watch. There were some that we didn't, we like, oh no, turn it off. That we really didn't like. Because it was me and my sister and she always had the remote control. MI High I didn't like. I was a bit too old for MI High.
I was vaguely aware of that show. I don't think... I watched a couple of episodes of... What?
Ghost Hunter.
I have no idea what that is.
Oh my god, I think it was called Ghost Hunter. Hang on. Oh my god, it was filmed really near to where I live. Like, this old tiny shopping precinct called Emery Gate, where I used to live. Some of it was filmed in there. Ghost Hunter was literally the shit. It was about these two kids, Roddy and Tessa, apparently their names were two ordinary children whose lives are turned upside down when William Povey, a shoeshine boy from Victorian England, appears in Roddy's bedroom as a ghost and appeals to him for help. The ghost hunter, who I think the woman who played the ghost hunter was quite famous and she died not long ago. She was trying to get him for his energy. And basically to make him look like a ghost, they just, like, painted him a bit green. But it was amazing. I loved it.
Now you talk about this, I'm aware of its existence. I don't think I ever really watched, like, a whole series of it or anything, but I certainly know it existed.
It was amazing. And they had lots of... It was set in a school, but then they had one where they went back in time to Victorian England a lot. And it was to do with, like, they went back in time, and it was, like, to buy... shares, because obviously, you know, if you get a bank account or whatever in Victorian England in 200 years, that's a shitload of interest. And I was like, I remember thinking, like, I don't understand this. Why am I being taught economics? I'm deaf. Like, what? I don't care about interest rates. But the woman who played the ghost hunter, she died in... Oh, apparently she's not dead.
Well, that's always an awkward moment with celebrities. It's like, oh, I assumed you were dead.
I totally remember her dying, but whatever. Jean Marsh, her name was. She was in Upstairs, Downstairs. She played Rose Buck. She created Upstairs, Downstairs, like the original one. Although, to be fair, I really liked the reboot, but whatever. She's been in loads and loads of things. She has been in Doctor Who occasionally, done lots of bits and bobs. She was married to John Pertwee until 1960.
Oh, I...
She's not dead, but okay. I really thought she was dead.
I have a thing to talk about.
Go. Does it involve Upstairs, Downstairs?
No. Before I talk about this, I'm going to say, like, don't run away because I'm not going to give any spoilers.
Okay.
This week, I discovered that at least the first episode, if not the first couple of episodes, of the new series of Doctor Who...
Oh yeah,
have surfaced online. They've leaked online in
what,
sort of
the
a
full episode.
The full episodes. There are some of the scenes still have temporary special effects, and it's in black and white. But it was basically a version that was sent out to a Spanish TV company, so that they could get the subtitles done, and like the translation done, and air it simultaneously with England.
Yeah.
So if you're okay with some like. I'm not going to say what the special effects are of, but there are, like, some special effects of things that are a bit blocky and, like, very basic, and they're it's all in black and white, but it's very watchable.
I think, personally, I think I vaguely heard about this. I think he tweeted about it, and I knew the scripts were leaked. I would not be surprised if the BBC are being quite lax about it, because they need to get some hype back up somehow. Like, Doctor Who, I think, honestly, I mean, maybe it's because I exist online in, you know, our kind of circles where people are super, super critical of their media, thank the Lord. But it seems like it's pretty much only SFX magazine that's excited about the new Doctor Who. You know, oh my God, Doctor Who's coming out. And everyone's like, oh, really? Well, I hate Stephen Moffat so much.
Here's the thing. I agree. I hate Moffat. That said...
that's a good thing to just...
Yeah, so yeah, I hate Moffat. I hate what he's done to the show. Without any spoilers, I want to talk a little bit about my thoughts on the new Doctor.
Well,
and again, this is going to be spoiler free.
Okay, you can tell me spoilers personally, and obviously, if anyone wants to stop listening, I'm not bothered.
No, I don't want to. I'm not going to give story spoilers. I just want to give general impressions on the new Doctor.
Okay, so obviously, if you want to avoid it completely, listeners,
skip ahead maybe 3 minutes.
Okay. And okay.
The new Doctor, who's played by what's his name?
Peter Capaldi.
Honestly,
Laura, get your shit together.
Sorry. Yeah. Basically, Peter Capaldi makes a really interesting Doctor. Like the having aged up the actor playing him definitely benefits him. He's very different to the previous incarnations we've had. He seems less based on a gimmick. And, like, the setup for his introduction gives me a lot of faith for his character having more interesting things to do than Matt Smith did.
Yeah,
as
I
a character.
Like Matt Smith in general, I feel like he was robbed of what could have been a good couple of seasons.
Exactly. They seem to have more of a solid idea of what they want to do with Capaldi, at least in this first episode. And it's not just like, hey, here's a goofy gimmick. He likes custard and fish fingers. Ha 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 ha. But yeah, I was very pleased with this first introductory returning episode. There are certainly problems, but there are some very exciting things they do as well. In terms of diversity, they take a certain thing that has been a thing for a few seasons now, and they put it really front and center and make a big deal of focusing on something, which I was very impressed to see focused on, and I will say no more.
Fair enough.
So I am very interested in this, and if you want to talk to me after the podcast, Kate, I can give you some specifics.
Honestly, I don't think the BBC are that bothered about it leaking, because it's just like, we need some hype and we need some good pre-reviews and stuff. I don't know. I feel like San Diego Comic-Con has just been out. Or is still happening, I don't know. My invite obviously got lost in the post. Shame. but I feel like I'm really jaded at the moment. Like, Age of Ultron, honestly, I don't feel that positive about it. Guardians of the Galaxy, I think, is going to be good. But
I've spoken to someone that's been to some pre-press screenings and things, and apparently, like, it's up there right next to Avengers, like, just, like, very comparable to Avengers.
Cool. Oh, well, yeah, I think that's filled me with a bit more confidence. I think that's going
to
be good.
Well, this was from, if anyone listens to my other podcasts, Patrick Dane, who I do the Category Video Games podcast with, who writes about film stuff for Bleeding Cool. He's a hard person to please with films. He very directly was like, this is very, like, up there quality-wise with what they did with the Avengers.
Yeah.
So he's very impressed with it. Sorry.
Like a mess. Sorry. I think it's going to be good for Guardians of the Galaxy. Age of Ultron, I do not think is going to be good.
I don't know. I'm more excited about Guardians of the Galaxy just because it's something new and something fresh.
Like, I think your Age of Ultron, it's like, it's the same characters that we've seen before.
Indeed.
To be honest, Avengers, I didn't really like in hindsight.
It's going to be more of the Avengers. It's going to be throw this group of people together that you've already seen in other films. Here they are doing their things together.
Yeah, again, we've shot the big value of, oh my God, this is the movie we've been waiting for is gone.
From what I've heard for the Guardian screenings, from people that have seen it, it's apparently much better at getting sort of, it's much less serious about that premise. It sort of takes everything with a grain of salt, and it knows it's a sort of,
yeah,
it, it's it's dark at times, but equally it knows it's a comic book film and it has some fun with that.
That's the thing I felt about Avengers. Avengers, maybe even Winter Soldier, which is my favourite Marvel movie, they were like, oh, we're action movies. It's like, no, at your heart, you are comic book movies, and comic book movies should be more fun, which is why I don't like DC in general, because I'm like, oh, like, have you seen the Wonder Woman poster?
Oh, God, where her entire outfit is brown.
There is literally enough grit in that poster to sort out, like, a Canadian winter, okay? It's ridiculous. It's like, oh, so dark. Oh.
There are some great, like, Photoshops that people have done where they've literally, like, they've kept it dark, but they've changed some of those browns to reds, whites, and blues.
Yeah, just like...
And it's like, nicer. It doesn't take much, and it still looks very similar, except that it's just that tiny little bit of colour that's like, oh, that looks like Wonder Woman.
It looks, I mean, for goodness sake, like, you might as well just give her something nice to wear. Like, they'd be like,
oh, basically, they've turned Wonder Woman into Batman.
Yes! That's what it's going to be. Honestly, I mean, I think, like I said about Atalanta, or whatever her name is, in Hercules, honestly, if Zack Snyder is watching Hercules this week, he will be rewriting scripts and being like, that's exactly how I wanted Wonder Woman to be. Just a generic strong one. I'm not excited about Batman vs Superman at all.
My problem with Wonder Woman is I'm really worried that literally, like, in my head, it's going to be Batman. So she's going to walk onto screen and go, I'm Wonder Woman.
Yes, basically.
Pretty much. And it will be dark, like, wow. Voice. It's like, oh, wow, she's so strong.
They have put her in to sell tickets, not because, oh shit, we really need to represent women now, and Wonder Woman is one of the biggest superheroes.
You know why they've put her in? Because they're trying to brute force their way to a Justice League movie. And the quickest way to do that is to throw her into a different franchise. It's, hey, we can't reboot Batman yet, and we don't want to make a standalone Wonder Woman film. We'll throw Batman and Wonder Woman into our Superman film, and then we can do a Justice League film soon.
It's incredibly lazy, but I mean, because if you look at Marvel's Avengers, they took it slow. Well, I say they took it slow. I still think Thor and Captain America 1 were rushed. But they basically said, like, okay, let's make sure we establish all of these characters, and then everyone will be super excited for this great big, you know, clash, whereas they're not doing that. They're saying, oh, right, let's do Batman versus Superman because literally Batman, everyone's obsessed with Batman, and Superman because that film did... I still haven't seen the Superman movie. And then, oh, well, we better put Wonder Woman in and we'll give her, like, a bit of screen time and maybe she'll, like, kiss one of them and then that will be it and loads of people will call us progressive. No! Shit to the bull! This is not progressive. And people... I honestly think people saying that this is progressive are sat at the table taking scraps and also just totally misunderstanding what audiences want. We want well-written, complex women. We want a Wonder Woman movie.
Oh, goodness. The thing about, like, Marvel is that, yes, they did cut corners. Like, they, after their two sort of struggled attempts at doing a good Hulk film, they kind of wrote it off, and they didn't really do a Hulk film for the Avengers, and, like, there are certain places where they did cut corners, but they did understand, like, okay, we're playing the long game here. Let's build up some really strong launches for a series of characters and be like, right, here we have several films that are fleshed out. Like, here is each of these characters in their own film where they get to be the entire focus and they exist in the same world, but they're, you know, doing their own thing. And then we bring them together. And, like, they took the time to make sure each of these was at least by a decent number of people, even if it's not, like, everyone, that they were loved franchises, and then they brought them together.
I mean, Iron Man was, like, you know, not only did it turn Robert Downey Jr.'s career around, I think it turned the comic book franchise, comic book movie idea around, because all we'd had was X-Men. Let's be honest. Like, that wasn't great.
It showed that you could take comic book movies, could be serious, but funny as well.
Yeah.
That, like, you could take them seriously, but they didn't have to take themselves seriously.
I got into an argument with like a guest at work because we were talking about comic book movies and it was something to do with Batman and I basically said Batman sucks and his friend got really annoyed and I didn't have the time to say Batman and Black Widow have the exact same powers. In fact, Black Widow has better powers because in a lot of incarnations in the comics she has super soldier serum, like, or some sort of version of it. And Batman sucks. I'm sorry. The Batman movies sucked.
At least her and her super soldier serum would make it make sense that, yeah, you know, the things that don't kill Batman, it's like, that would make sense if you were a character with super soldier serum.
You can't heal a broken back through some push-ups. I'm sorry. And if you drop a nuclear bomb into the ocean, like, you don't just get, oh, okay, that's fine. No,
a nuclear bomb still goes off and you get a tsunami.
It's not like, oh, it's in the water. It's not like an iPhone, okay? Shoving it in water won't make it work. You can't, you know, we're not going to have Bane, like, sat with his nuclear bomb in a big tub of rice trying to make it work. That's not how it works. It's, and they just, because of, basically, Heath Ledger was amazing in Batman. Then, you know, there is obviously a thing with anybody after they pass away. People do tend to look at them in a fonder light. And he was amazing, but now his performance in Dark Knight is untouchable.
Well, I will still say there are obviously problems with it, which I've detailed before, and I won't go into them here, but, like, there are problems with his performance, but that said, like, the...
I think his performance is amazing, but I think the film sucked.
The way he portrayed the character and the way that that incarnation of the Joker fitted into, for better or worse, the universe they wanted to fit Batman into, like, could not have had a better villain for, like, being a character that has difficult to pin down motivations and could feasibly realistically exist to some degree, and who was genuinely scary.
He was scary, and he was entertaining, and he was fantastic. But I don't personally think Christian Bale is that good an actor. He may have been good in American Psycho, which I haven't seen. I've just seen bits of.
Watch it. It's really good.
It looks like he looks amazing in that. I didn't like him in American Hustle at all.
American Psycho is a film that would be disturbing if played straight, but they play it off as a comedy enough that it takes what could have been a quite disturbing concept and makes it really amusing.
Oh, talking of disturbing concepts, this is about the 50 Shades of Grey trailer.
I wasn't going to get to there from disturbing things. I was going to get there directly from American Psycho. Have you seen the trailer, did you say?
No, I haven't. I've seen
you. Okay.
Tell me about it.
Okay. I'm not here making a judgment on the books. I could go into reasons why I personally dislike those books, and I think that there are very troubling things they do. But that's rather here nor there at the moment. It's for better or worse, there's a lot of people who like those books. That said, just looking at the film trailer and having read the books and knowing the books, the problem with this film trailer is that it does not portray the relationship this series of books is based around as a consensual relationship.
Mm. Well, I don't think the books do either, to be honest.
No, but at least, like, the thing is like, at least with the books, there is a, there is suggestion that the female character is okay with what is happening and that she consents to what's going on, at least in the beginning. Mm. The problem with the framing of this trailer is it's framed much more like a horror film than it is any kind of romance. And what I mean by that is that, as well as, like, the music and a lot of the framing devices being ripped straight out of horror movie trailers, the entire framing of the character is that or of the relationship, is that it is one very obsessed male character that wants this female character to be his and no one else's, and he's not going to settle until that happens. And it paints the female love interest as someone that is not interested and that, like, is not reciprocating those feelings. And as such, it then ends up portraying Christian Grey as someone who is not having his feelings reciprocated, but in this very horror movie music and framing setup trailer, is not taking no for an answer and is obsessively attempting to not take no for an answer. And, like, that's the best way I can put it, because when you put all of those things together, what you end up with is it frames it like one of those horror films where you've got the killer is an obsessed, jilted, unrequited lover,
Yeah.
That decides, I'm going to stalk you and kill you. And then no one can have you because you're mine. And that's
so it's
how,
Carmen. It's Carmen, but without the, you know, the bullfighting.
Basically.
Like, maybe it does have bullfighting in. I haven't read the book.
Well,
it does it have bullfighting in? This is the question we need.
Not really.
No. No, hang on. That's not Carmen.
No, I know what you mean, though. But, yeah, it's really weird. Just go watch the trailer because, like, if you cut out maybe the last 10 seconds of the trailer, because the last 10 seconds of the trailer are basically where you get a sex moan and you get a singular, like, sex moan, and then the title 50 Shades of Grey comes up. Now, if you took that last 10 seconds out of the trailer and showed it to someone that did not know the franchise and, like, wouldn't pick up on the names, it does not come off as a Valentine's Day 2015 love story. It comes off as a horror film. It comes off as a murder, I'm going to murder you because you don't love me horror film.
I am going to request next Valentine's Day that I work on box office at the cinema where I work, just so I can see who is going to. I do this, you know, Transformers tends to be lots of kids going with parents thinking, oh, this film is going to be so long. We had Pudsey the dog this week, and a lot of kids went, and, you know, the parents were going, oh, why did I watch? That was painful. So I want to see, you know, if we've got men going, if we've got women going, if we've got any, because we get a lot of guys come in on their own who are just massive film fans and come and see pretty much every film. I want to know if they'll do this for 50 Shades.
Well, here's the thing. I am genuinely curious about how this is going to be handled, because having read the book, like, purely, I read the series of books so that I could complain about them from a position of knowledge. Like,
oh, you actually read them?
Yes, I read them.
You're brave.
I read them for the same reason that I listened to one of Justin Bieber's albums from start to finish at the height of We Hate Justin Bieber. It's one of those things, as a critic, I don't like to join in on the mindless bashing of things that I don't really understand. So I'm like, no, I will ingest this media and speak from a position of knowledge on my thoughts on it. And knowing those books, I am genuinely curious as to how they're going to pull that off as a Valentine's Day film, and then particularly, like, how they are going to get away with certain aspects of that just on film.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
But seriously, go watch the trailer. Watch that trailer and tell me it's not a horror film trailer.
I mean, the problem for me, and I saw somebody sort of blogging about it, like, don't shame people, especially young women, for reading it, but, you know, we should be critiquing it. And I think everything we talk about on this podcast boils down to we should critique our media.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
our
we
thing,
we should
though.
Not be passive.
Like, you have, like, if you love media, all the more reason to critique, because, you know, you should want the things you love to be even better.
And most of the people who are like, oh, that film was crap. And it's like, well, you're reading the blogs and the magazines and you're the one going, you know, oh, I didn't care about, you know, it's just fun. It's just, you know, escapism. And it's not. It's important and it shapes our, you know, our world.
Yeah. But it's interesting. I don't know whether I will subject myself to the film. So I really detest a lot of things about that book. But taking the film trailer as, like, its own separate thing, not making a judgment on it as the quality of that film, because if you like that, if you like the book of 50 Shades of Grey, like, I think you'll still probably agree that, like, if you watch this critically, a lot of the framing devices they use are horror movie framing devices and tropes. Right up until the ending, you could just as easily watch that and interpret it as an unrequited lover murder horror film.
I think it's gonna, I just don't think it's gonna be a good movie. I mean, the books were not well written. I do not need to hear anybody talking about Between Their Legs as there repeatedly, okay? Like, I mean, I read when I was on holiday a couple of really trashy romance novels. They were like a couple of hundred pages, maybe like 10,000 words, and like 50 Shades of Grey is long. I didn't have the time to immerse yourself in it.
Oh, I did purely for the purposes of I want to be informed because I'm such a good critic.
That is something I do. I compartmentalize. I don't have time. I'm like, oh yeah, like Lucy. I read. I've heard a lot of critiques about it being racist. So I'm like, oh, I'll just read some more reviews and I'll be fine. Give me 2 seconds. Hello, you all right?
Race is ready. God bless her.
All right, I'll see you in the morning. Night. Bye. No one says bye. It's my aunt. She's gone to bed. People are coming over for the wedding, so she's been here since like last week. And it was like, oh, okay. So now we're all just hanging out and being drunk a lot.
Fair enough.
Because now I drive, so everyone's like, oh, it's okay, she'll drive. Let's drink like a tankard. It's
Right.
me.
Okay, we've got about 10 minutes left. Is there anything else we wanted to talk about this week?
Neopets, obviously. Can't believe you haven't asked
Okay,
yet. Can't believe that wasn't first.
give me the Neopets
They're doing pretty well. We've got loads of Neo points. Our shop is
update.
doing really well. We have a little shop. You sound so interested,
I
Laura.
am so interested, obviously.
I've put Tilly's Neopet in the Neo Lodge in a little hotel for a couple of days. I thought that was nice. Yours went in a hotel the other day. That was also nice. Been playing a lot of games. There's a good game actually called Spinnacles, and the music is really dark. And I listened and I play it when I'm listening to Welcome to Night Vale, which I've only listened to like one episode of this week. And I find it really relaxing to play it and listen at the same time. So I'm trying to think if I've done anything else super nerdy this week, apart from watching Hercules. I don't think I watched Step Up, and I thought it was going to be one of those really cheesy good movies, and it was just objectively bad. I was very upset about this. It had Channing Tatum in it. I thought I couldn't go wrong, and it was just Channing Tatum pretending he was black for 2 hours. It was weird. It was a very odd movie. So I think, do you don't like dance movies, Laura?
Depends on if it's a good one.
I'll show you Strictly Ballroom. You will love Strictly Ballroom.
Okay. Step
It's
Up is,
Baz Luhrmann.
My thoughts on Step Up, not a good film.
No, I downloaded it like, oh, I've never seen it, and surely, it's going to be one of those so bad it's good. And it was just
It
bad.
was so bad that no, you're right, it's bad.
Yeah, it was like, there are some films that people think they're good and they're bad. Every Batman film. Some people that people think of, people think, oh, that's a bad film and they're good. The Mummy. Although The Mummy was quite popular at the time. I'm trying to think what bad films. And there's obviously, people were divided. But this was one of those films that I thought, I'm going to love it because I genuinely like terrible films. Didn't like it one little bit. Very, very upset about this. I was not impressed. Like SWAT, which I only watched because it had Jeremy Renner in it. And that was terrible. We had to turn it off halfway through. I was like, sorry, Jeremy, future husband. I just can't do
Oh.
it. Do you have any films that are terrible, the bit that you love?
There is one horror film, and I wish I could remember the name of it off the top of my head. I'm going to have to try and research this and find it for next week.
Who's it? What? Who's in it? I might know.
Pardon? No, it's all unknown people in it, and
I still might know it. Tell me what
no,
happens.
I'm trying to remember. There was some kind of like voodoo doll thing going on.
Was it Scooby-Doo?
Pardon?
Did you
No,
watch Scooby-Doo?
I did not watch Scooby-Doo. It's really weird because basically we couldn't find any reviews of this film and it was really cheap horror film. We thought, okay, we'll watch it and see how it goes. And it was all really cheesy and we did some research. It turned out it was a film that had been released about 4 years previously under a different name and had averaged about a 10, like 10 out of 100 on Rotten Tomatoes. And like they'd renamed it and re-released it and that's why we hadn't been able to find any reviews. I wish I could remember the name, but like I want to track this. Like basically a family of like it's a load of students that all go and move into a house together that's owned by this one person and they all end up getting locked in and there's someone running around trying to murder them all in this very tiny house and they're all dying from various things
I have
and
not heard.
it's
I'm usually very good at being like, oh, you mean that film, but no.
actually there's one person who might know. And I'm just going to message them and see if they know what it's called.
Trying to think, but the worst horror movie I've seen was Prom Night, which had Brittany Snow in it. I really like Brittany Snow.
Oh, I sorry, while I'm waiting for an answer, apparently I'm now doing an extra panel at Nine Worlds now.
Oh,
I'm going
what
to
are you
be
doing?
on the Friday. I'm doing a load of Indie Haven stuff and indie developer, indie game stuff, and then Saturday I'm now doing a panel on the topic of what are games?
What are game? What
So,
is game? What are game?
what are game?
What am I doing? I have no idea. I'm doing like three panels. I ought to find out what they are. I haven't, like, don't tell anyone, but I haven't planned anything.
Oh goodness, neither have I. You can, it's like they have track listings and who's on which panels on their website now, so you can probably go and find out what you're doing
Let's
and
have a
when.
look. What am I doing? Well, I'm doing something on. Am I doing something on costuming? No, I'm doing a cosplay one, but on the fanfic track. Like, don't
Okay.
really know how that one works, but whatever. I don't care. I'm just like, yeah, I'll do it. And then I'm doing. Let's see if I can't find. Oh, that's 9 months, 2013. Oh, never mind. Not
That's
so
not going
far,
to
so
help.
bad. Yes, this is not going well. What am I doing? They're not 2014. The other one. I'm doing one on cosplay, but like stealth cosplay, which I don't really know what I'm going to talk about. I'm doing something, a couple of comics ones. I had to cancel one because it's clashed with another one.
What
Cry.
did you have to cancel?
I had to cancel a comics one. I think I'm still written up. I'm still on it on the website, but I'm not
You're
doing
just
it.
not turning up.
Basically, later. What am I doing this for? I just like go on the thing and search for Kate. Never just comic book guys celebrating diverse comics fandom, encouraging participation and wondering when people will realize comics are for everyone. I'm not doing that one, which I'm quite sad about because that's kind of what going to be. I am doing at 3:15 on Sunday. This is still on Sunday. Young adults and children in comics, and I've really, really read like Young Avengers. So I kind of was like, yeah, I know everything about comics. Put me on whatever panels, and now I'm like, oops. And then,
Basically, all you have to do is let the other people suggest things and then you bounce off of them. That's how
yeah,
you get through panels.
and then the one I'm quite excited about is it's called Gutter Spills. So it's about concepts that work in comics. Like it's basically about adaptations, which I love. I love talking about adaptations, so I'm excited about that one. I wish I could be doing the Never Just Comic Book Guy one, but I don't think I'm going to be able to. And people that I'm doing them with. Oh, I've literally never heard of these people. I've heard of them. I don't know. I was just like, I'll do whatever. Yeah, let's hang out. And I don't think I'm going to have time to do a cosplay. Like, at all. I know. I don't. So if anybody has any suggestions for, like, a really quick, easy cosplay for somebody with long red hair, like, can anybody just make me a really quick, beautiful Sansa Stark costume? That would be great.
Just
Thank
find
you.
someone wearing one there, beat them up and take it.
You know, I'm actually going to tweet, does anybody have, and I will buy it off them for like £10. I have no money, so like I got paid and then I was like, oh, I'm going to Nine Worlds. I guess I'm broke.
Well, I've been selling like every geek thing I have that's not currently something that I actually need.
Yeah.
And then all of my money's going on getting a new place to live.
Yay.
Gonna
I'm
have a
so
new place to
excited.
live soon.
Do I have to cosplay when I come to your house?
Yes, but you can cosplay as Kate if you like.
Oh, one day people are going to cosplay as us, just saying.
Oh, I already cosplay
Okay.
as one of the Geek Night In hosts.
Is it yourself? Because that really does not count.
I'm pretty sure it counts.
Do you ever dress up as Tilly? Oh,
Well,
bless.
we are very similar size clothing and we have swapped clothes before, so I've worn
That
some of her
counts.
clothes, so I
That counts.
assume that means I've cosplayed as Tilly.
I think you have, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I could cosplay as Tilly. With that, that's something I could feasibly do to Nine Worlds.
You gonna go as Spock
Yeah, but now I want to go as Tilly.
and Kirk? That would work. What could you do for Tilly? Just carry like a cat. Oh my god, dress up as a cat and be like, I'm not a cat, I'm Tilly. Who is that? Epic
Okay,
show.
done. That is brilliant.
I think that's brilliant.
Okay, we've been going for an hour now, so we should probably stop. I've got to get doing my other bits of work for the evening, but thank you for joining me, Kate.
That's all right.
Thank you for stumbling through an hour without really having anything we could think of to talk about.
Excuse me, we talked about Arthur. It was amazing.
It's fine, it's fine. Yeah, where can we find the things you put onto the internet?
Well, obviously www.thegeekagenda.co.uk is where I'm trying to put more stuff at the moment. We've had all of my writers, including me, have been incredibly busy at the moment, so it's been really hard to get content out. But keep an eye out, because there are going to be some changes coming up in the next few months. So keep an eye out for that. And obviously, I tweet about comics and usually getting angry about comics at @WhatKatie_did. So that's me. Also, anyway, the geek night in.
Okay. Yeah, hooray, that's brilliant. You can find me on Twitter at Laura K. Buzz. You can find the podcast on Twitter at The Geek Night In. You can find the podcast on iTunes or on Google by searching The Geek Night In. And other stuff. I post all my internet things on Laura K. Buzz on Twitter. You can find my other podcasts, the Indie Haven podcast, Oh No Video Games, and what else do I do? Oh, Category Video Games.
Everything.
That's the other one. I do too many podcasts now. They're all on iTunes, where you can Google them. We talk about various things. Thank you very much for listening, everyone, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Bye.
Bye.